This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday the 13th.
First full week of summer. Friday the 13th ever gets you? You ever arch an eyebrow with suspicion? Like, uh-oh, be careful today.
I've never had anything bad happen. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Furiously rapping knuckles against noggin.
Yes. And, but, yeah, I don't have any superstitions. You guys?
No, not really. I like to think it's because my parents forbid me from watching Friday the 13th movies. That was a no-go area.
Was that the Jason?
Yes.
The Jason series.
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, I don't really have much other than I know that when we're watching the Mariners games when I'm with my kids, and if I say, hey, Leak is having a good, he's pitching well tonight, and then Mikey will look at me and he'll just like, hey, make sure you knock on wood on that because things will change if you don't. But that's all we do at our house, basically. But, you know, the black cat thing under a ladder, there's different things that I won't do. If I see a black cat go in front of my car, I think that some bad things might happen later in the day.
Do you do something to change your path to prevent crossing paths with the black cat, or is that going
no,
a little bit too
just,
far?
Yeah, it's just a little.
You're just on your toes. You're leery of the bad luck.
Yeah.
Does it have to be a totally black cat? Because we have a black and white cat.
I think it's just a black cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thursday the 12th, that wasn't a very lucky day for the Mariners. That was unfortunate what happened last night in Anaheim.
Yeah, it was. It was, boy, you got the 1-0 lead, and you're thinking, okay, you got the big maple out there, and then, boom, second pitch, David Fletcher, and then another home run, and then the next thing you know, he's coming out of the game. And the thing is, with Paxton's history, you always think the worst, but it's good news today. Shannon Dreher was tweeting that Paxton feels pretty good today.
Yeah, I've never been so happy for a back injury. I think everybody knows what a back injury feels like and how miserable it can be, but once they said it was his back, I was like, whew. That can get better in a week or so. Like, because there's no such thing as a little arm injury. There's nothing True. That happens to a pitcher regarding his arm that you're like, oh, he'll probably be fine a week from now.
Yeah, like, but the back is a mysterious area, though. Like, there's all kinds of things going on back there. You don't know, you know, what's going on. The same thing we talk about with Felix. Also, we jinxed ourselves yesterday because we totally talked about Paxton and how he's overcome all of his health issues.
It's definitely true. I thought of that as well. I was like, yeah, that was a little bit too soon. Too soon, too soon. Of all the different injuries, back injuries are probably some of the most mysterious, but they're not the ones that make me the most leery, like if that makes sense. Like when a team looks at signing a guy, like there are certain injuries that I'm like, I don't want any part of. The pitcher with arm injury, like pitcher with the ulnar collateral ligament questions, is always the one where I'm like, okay, that's eventually going to explode. Like, I assume that you're getting a guy with a 1 3/4 severed rubber band attaching his arm together there. The shoulder injury, like arm injury guy is the most scary for me. Back injury guy, I tend to think that you can monitor that and you can get that better.
Yeah, that's true. But and also, especially if you look at the slow motion or the pictures of pitchers when they throw, it's gross. Like what their body is doing, you wonder why they're, you know, how their arm doesn't just fly off at some point, the way they're tweaking it and twisting it. So, yeah, the back thing just, you know, always it's sort of nebulous. You don't really know what's going on there, though, and it kind of worries me a little bit. So I feel like we're worrying over these losses more and sort of following more closely, like day to day, than we ever have, because the win yesterday or 2 days ago felt so good. The loss before that felt so terrible, and then last night, you know. And then what time did they get into Colorado? I mean, probably they left after the game, and then they're getting there. It's probably 6 a.m, right? And now you got to go and play another really good team with a lot of good hitters and the high altitude, and so. Yeah, I just I find myself getting a little bit more concerned and nervous over these things. But you know, it's a long season, and you can't be that way. But and usually we are that way. But now I'm just feeling like, man, this is making me nervous.
Yeah, the A's are only 5 games back, and Danny, I think back injury guy, if he's listening, he probably understands what you're saying about arm injury guy, but. If you're a back injury guy, now again, knock on wood, since it's Friday the 13th, but I've never really had a back injury. But boy, people who have them, they just sound debilitating. So, you know, whatever's going on with Paxton there, hopefully it's just minor. That's all indications are it's minor, but he really, it sounds like he didn't really feel anything until he went out there. The bullpen thought he could work it through, and who knows on that one. Hopefully it's not serious, but we'll find out when they come back to play the White Sox after the break.
I have a lot of sympathy for back injury guy, and I know it's awful. But generally, back injury guy, that's not a career-ending or career-altering injury, right?
Like, the back injury guys are laid up on the floor and they can't even move at times.
But that's back injury guy who's regular Joe Blow. Like, back injury guy who's a professional athlete generally gets it treated. Like, that was the concern with Randy Johnson, right? Is that he had a bad back, and that's why the Mariners didn't sign him. And it turned out to be 10 years of absolutely fantastic pitching for him after that. For the most part, Nomar Garciaparra, I guess that was more of a wrist injury that he had. It seems like, I know that I get, when Marshawn Lynch had the back injury that kept him from playing in that game in Cleveland in 2011, I was like, oh no, this is probably the beginning of it. That was the only game he missed in his career because of a back injury. Back injury guy tends to bounce on back. So I'm encouraged that James Paxton is back injury guy rather than sore arm guy.
If it's one player that you can't afford to lose on the entire team, I would take James Paxton as that guy you do not want to lose. That's the ace of your staff, and you don't want any problems there whatsoever. Do you?
Don't worry, Danny. It'll make sense here.
This is by purpose.
Is that the band?
Oh, by the OJs.
This is the song that Grant Fiesel used to sing.
It's the OJs.
Back spasms.
Back spasms instead of backstabbing.
Yeah.
What they do? The size in your face. All the time you won't take your place.
The back spasms.
Backstabbers.
Robert Pujols
started the like,
backstabbers.
Three home runs and five batters. Back spasms.
We're not funny. We're not funny.
No, probably not at all.
Somebody out there driving on 405 going, yeah, these guys, not funny.
It's a waste of my time.
Yeah. No, it was pretty entertaining. When you look at what's happened with the Mariners, the concern for me isn't Paxton. And I think that's interesting. You say that Paxton is the one guy they couldn't afford to lose.
Do you not agree with me on that one?
No, I don't.
Well, who would it be for you?
I'm not sure. Probably Segura. Given everything that's happened and how consistent Gordon is up there. I know why you say that, and I can't
that
say...
That staff would be pretty mediocre without him, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, mediocre would probably be generous with that. If Paxton is probably... I can see that Paxton's the one guy. But what's kind of gone and fizzled for the Mariners right now is their offense. I mean, one run yesterday, it doesn't matter if James Paxton had back spasms or not. And you end up adding the second one late, but for the bulk of that game, just one run, and that comes on... They've not been hitting for a good week now.
Well, let's see how Wade LeBlanc does, because is it really... I mean, if he goes 6-0 and is able to have a really good performance in Colorado, then I don't know that I would say that this is a mediocre staff without Paxton, just because what you're getting from Marco Gonzalez, man, the other day, that was... that I felt like he announced his arrival here as a star. So I think the one guy would be D. Gordon. D. Gordon, if you're missing him, now he was out for 10 days. The only thing about Segura is that who would play there? You'd have Andrew Romine, right? And, you know, eventually you're going to get at second base, you're going to get Cano back. But D. Gordon, just what he brings, all of the other stuff that comes with him on the base paths, his speed, his flexibility, he's able to, you know, play center field and second base, and then just emotionally, what he means to the team. I feel like that's much more than Paxton.
We got a couple people here on the Coors Light text line saying Edwin Diaz, and you can see that, but you'd have Colomé who could take over there because he was Tampa Bay's closer. So, and by the way, I found another guy that I think I can hit on the Mariners staff, and that's Andrew Romine after watching
He's
him
not on the Mariners staff. that doesn't count, Jim.
Although Trout went out.
Yeah.
And he flew out.
Yeah, he did. So. That would be there. So you add Andrew Romine.
I just get a kick out of watching position players out there. I just always enjoy that. Even when your team's getting routed, it's just amusing to see a guy out there, and he was doing okay.
Don't you think if you're a position player, it would be kind of fun? Because nobody's expecting. There's zero expectations.
Just throw
right?
strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like seeing the radar gun. You know, Root Sports had 70-something. I think he got it up to 88, though, at one point, or 85 anyway.
Would you try and throw it as hard as you could? Or would you try?
No, I'd just be trying to throw strikes.
Throw strikes?
Well, because I think the hitters are used to seeing high 80s, low 90s, mid 90s. And so if you're throwing 75 up there,
I'd be tempted.
You're probably just trying to wallop it and maybe pop up or ground out.
I'd be so tempted to throw an Ephus pitch, like to give him a big lob. Try and get one of those, see if they swing and miss. 5 of the past 6 Mariner games, they've scored 3 runs or fewer. They've got you got a couple.
And that's the big cutoff with them too. The big disparity in their record, 4 or more. They've got a great record, 3 or less. That probably goes with most teams though.
Mm-hmm. 5 of their past 6, they've failed to score more than 4 runs. Your level of concern now. How worried are you, Dave?
Well, I realize that I'm being emotional on a day-to-day basis and don't need to be that. It's still a good team, but you do worry when a guy who is supposed to be. I mean, does that happen to Chris Sale? What happened to, and I know it's the back spasms, but you know there's also just, you know, I'm like, man, that's our ace and the guy that you have established as the number one guy. So yeah, I would say I'm concerned. If they're not able to win a game in Colorado, you know, I mean, what do they need to do in Colorado to make you feel good? I feel like they got to win 2 games.
They come back 500 on the road trip. If they win 2 or 3 in Colorado and come back and enter the All-Star break, having gone 3-3 on the road trip, I always think that 500 on the road is good. It's not a great road trip. You're not like, oh, but that's absolutely, it's like holding serve in tennis. Not in a 6-hour tennis match like we saw in Wimbledon today, but it's holding serve. If you go 500 on the road, you're holding serve at that point. Going into Colorado, having a game where your starting pitcher doesn't make it out of the first and faces 5 batters is hardly ideal because it starts to chew into your bullpen in games that you're going to expect you'll need it. Because, look, there's going to be, I expect at least a couple of slugfests. I think there's going to be a couple times that opponents, and maybe the thin air in Colorado is just what the Mariners need to jumpstart their offense, because right now that's the part of it. Once I realized it was Paxton's back and not his arm, well, my concern remains this offense that it's kind of fizzled here. It's that they've gone through a week where they're just not hitting.
Well, it has, and then you don't have Cruz tonight because they don't have the DH. Well, everybody knows that in the NL, and so they're at Colorado tonight. But yeah, we'll see. I would tonight though, if I were in Vegas, and I don't even know what the over under is on the game, total runs in the game, but I would certainly take the over and bet it with both hands tonight because you got Christian Bergman going. Now, we know that he had one good start for the Mariners in May against Texas. I don't know where that came from. Although he was pretty good last year with his when he came up and pitched for the Mariners. But 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs against the Tigers, I think it was. Maybe it was Texas. I forget. But it was May 16th. But he's been just so-so with Tacoma. Hopefully you'll get another performance like he gave you in May. And then the Rockies, they had to go with a different starter tonight, too. Antonio Senzatella had a blister. They put him on the DL, and they're putting Jeff Hoffman on the mound tonight. I don't really know much about Jeff Hoffman, to be honest with you, but it's his first start this year. He's been with the Isotopes most of the season. And,
the Topes?
Yeah, they're in Albuquerque, and so we'll see. But you got a couple of guys out there that should be pitching batting practice, I would think.
Bergman is a former Rocky, so you get the benefit of him going against his former franchise, right? I always like it when you give the opportunity for the player to stick it up the nose of the team that gave up on him or cut him loose. Kind of like that idea. Bergman's been good when they've had him. I don't feel like the Mariners are at some sort of disadvantage with him going tonight. I do feel that they're going to need to hit this weekend if they're going to win. This is not going to be.
If they win 1 of 3, they're still okay, don't you think? Although, boy, the A's are only 5 back now.
Yeah. Yep. The A's
Danny,
are hot.
You don't think the A's are going to catch them. I keep hearing you say that. What is it? Because I get it mixed up. The likelihood of the Mariners catching, what is it again?
I think it's more likely the Mariners catch the Astros than the A's catch the Mariners.
You still feel that way?
Yes, I do.
Even though the A's are what, 19-5?
The A's are on an absolute 24? Tear, and they played as hot as possible, and they're still 5 games back of the Mariners. They're not going to play better than this. They're not. I mean, this is as hot as a team pretty much can possibly get, and I don't think that they're going to sustain it. They've had their hot streak, and it's taken them this far, and look, if the Mariners end up being passed by the A's, it will have more to do with the Mariners imploding than it will the A's continuing this hot streak they have.
Yeah, and another team that's hot right now is Colorado. They've won 10 of their last 13. And then I'm looking at Houston, and quite possibly, Baltimore's probably worse. There's not many teams worse on the road than Detroit. and that's who's coming into town in Houston. So does cause some level of concern. But, you know, you've got the All-Star break coming up, and then, you know, some guys are going to be able to get healthy. Hopefully you get the two back spasm guys back in, and you're good to go.
Back spasms. How did it go, Dave?
Yeah, I need the music.
All right. It's time for us.
Instead of backstabbers. What'd you say it was? The OJs?
Yeah, the OJs.
Yeah.
You see the over-under on this game tonight? I don't know if I've seen one this high. Maybe in Colorado it's typical, but we got another sick gambler out there that listens to the show, and he texted in. It's 12 and a half.
You're kidding
me. Have you seen that, Dave? 12
never.
And a half?
I've never seen anything like that. Wow.
Would you go under, Jim?
No. I'd go over on that. With those two pitchers tonight, I'd go over.
Well, look, Arizona scored 19 the other night.
Well, let's break out the bats, Mariners. Let's get going. It's time for us to take two.
Take two.
We mentioned it earlier. James Paxton left last night's game in the first inning due to discomfort in his lower back. Paxton allowed 3 runs and recorded just 2 outs before exiting the game.
It was brutal, but all things considered, I was relieved when I heard it was back spasms. And that's not to minimize what that is. But look, when you've got a pitcher like James Paxton who has been, he's had injuries throughout his career. He hasn't pitched a full season. To have him be able to, that's the one injury where you're like, oh, maybe he'll be able to make his next start. If it's a groin, if it's something in your arm, if it's in your arm, I'm assuming months. If it's a lower leg injury, I'm assuming it's going to be weeks. Back spasm? Eh, it could probably subside. He might be fine this time next week.
Are you laughing at how ridiculous our show is, Jim?
Well, no, I'm just laughing. Song? I'm just wondering how much longer it'll be that every time I hear back spasms, I'll be thinking of that OJ song.
The OJ song. There you go. Well, that's been my whole life pretty much ever since I heard Grant Fiesel singing it in the training room.
Would he sing it when a guy was suffering from back spasms and unable to practice?
Exactly. Because it was always one of those things that nobody ever really could diagnose for sure. And there was always a little bit of a hint that maybe the guy's loafing and just claimed back spasms. So
I
he didn't
broke
have
my
to go.
Back.
Or
what
that.
Do you mean by that? Your
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Do you know what it is in the NBA? It's plantar fasciitis. Plantar fasciitis was the one where it was impossible. Like, you can't say that someone complaining of plantar fasciitis doesn't feel it. But it's really hard to, like, you also don't know. It might be the guy just doesn't want to practice that day.
Right. And so, yeah, it was always kind of looked down upon because you never really could. It's not like a broken finger or a dislocated joint or something where you can test it and see clearly. So, but, you know, I feel like I'm overreacting to this because of the injury thing. Just because last year going through that was painful. I really hated that last year. How every week there was somebody going down with an injury, and it's particularly the pitching staff. So I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. You know, what he's feeling in his back, like a normal person probably would be like, what are you talking about? I feel fine. But I mean, what pitchers put their body through in order to deliver a pitch, just everything has to be just right and working just right. And so, you know, I always tease that, you know, they're babies about it. But no, they're not. It's something that when you look at what their bodies do, like in slow motion, everything has to be right. And especially your back. I mean, there's all kinds of muscles and vertebrae and everything back there.
Yeah, but the timing of it at least and the severity of it being minor and right here at the All-Star break. So you've got the time where Paxton's going to come back. Felix will be back. Zunino will be back. And so hopefully all will be well here when we get back together next Friday.
You could see how definitive Scott Service was with Paxton when he was out there. Paxton was trying to stay in the game. And he was basically saying, I'll be able to get through this. And I think he was thinking, my back will loosen up as I go here. Yeah. And you could tell Service, and I think his rationale is, look, if you're dealing with something that's impacting your ability to throw it, you're going to start compensating. And that's when you really might hurt something. We're not going to go through that. Like, this is about the war, not the battle. And when I heard it was his back, I was like, oh, that's much better news, because I just go to the worst case scenario with pitchers, because things can change so quickly with arm health. And it's the one activity, like the very thing that makes them so valuable, their ability to throw a ball incredibly hard overhand, like that actual act endangers them. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very strange sort of like a priceless Ming vase. Or vase.
Yeah, say vase, Danny. What's the matter with
you? A priceless Ming vase, like, its value, like, is not threatened by the mere fact that it's a vase or a vase. Like a pitcher, the actual act that makes them valuable is also a threat to them. I don't know if that made any sense.
I'm not really sure. I was too focused on Vaz. It just always sounds highfalutin to me, Danny. By the way, the 253 says the office worker equivalent of the back spasms is migraines, because no one can tell that you don't have a migraine.
That's true.
It's like they're trying to get out of work.
Yeah. Although Jessamyn McIntyre, she'll occasionally get migraines, and that's no, like, you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
That she's in there. It is debilitating.
The longest ever semifinal match took place today at Wimbledon between Kevin Anderson and John Isner at 6 hours and 36 minutes.
99 games.
That's what it ended up being?
3 tiebreakers.
Smokes. Yeah, and the question here, like, what would you be willing to do, or what have you done for 6.5 hours? I couldn't sit there and watch it for 6.5 hours.
If I was a tennis fan, I think
I watched it.
I would think it'd be fantastic. You see the final set, 26-24, and it lasted 2 hours and 50 minutes.
It was awesome.
The final set alone. And I haven't watched tennis for a while, but playing on grass at Wimbledon, it's just a huge advantage for the guy that's serving, correct?
Yes.
And so you just, I mean, I don't know how many service breaks they had in that final set there. Were there any?
There had to be. Because you have to have broken serve to win.
Well, okay, one.
Is the guy done? I mean, you won. Congratulations. But
we'll see. He's going to the final. I don't think so. I think he'll be okay. But he's definitely... Previously, he'd played in a match that lasted 10 hours at Wimbledon.
Correct.
The South African guy, Isner.
What's sad? Have you heard of either one of these guys?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I haven't heard either one.
No kidding.
Isner. Yeah. He was just in the longest match ever. That's the only reason why I know him.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't really like watching the men's tennis. I'd rather watch the women, because the men hit it so hard that it just, I don't know. I feel like there's more skill and there's more volleys in women's, because the men hit it 110 miles an hour, I think.
Yeah.
The tennis ball's going.
Women's tennis is more exciting to watch. There's more back and forth, and men's is about, I think I said Isner. Isner's an American. He lost the match to the South African. I'd never heard of the South African.
I miss tennis being popular, though. Like, when I was growing up and stuff, I mean, it was hard to get a court. Like, if there were tennis courts around, you typically had to wait to get a court. Now you see tennis courts, and they're just wide open all
Should
the
be
time.
Great for you if you want to go. Why don't you go play tennis if the tennis courts are wide open?
Well, because I can't move laterally very well anymore.
Oh.
I still have my racket, though. Like, I'm going to somehow, someday get out there and do it again.
Heck yeah. You're going to come out of retirement? Yeah, dust it off, the big forehand?
I learned the two-handed backhand. I wasn't very good, though.
I've been putting together my bucket list of things I want to see before I croak. Wimbledon was added today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jim playing tennis. Like, wow, that's pathetic.
Also added today.
Pathetic bucket list. Yeah.
Small bucket.
It's Danny David Moore. We've got Jaron Reed, Seahawks defensive lineman. He's got something he's doing this weekend. We'll find out about it next.
This is Danny David Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
It's Danny David Moore here on the Venue Kings Hotline. We have Jaron Reed, who's got a couple weeks before training camp starts. Jaron, how is the, I guess it's about a month worth of off season. How's your off season been?
Oh, man, it's been great, you know, spending it with family, you know, took a little vacation. Now I've just been back training.
Jaron, do you get kind of excited or nervous when camp comes around? I remember a couple of weeks before always getting, you know, just a little bit tense and nervous and kind of excited to see all your teammates again. Do you get that same feeling?
Oh, yeah, I'm always getting excited, you know, to get back to work. Never nervous, you know, this is my family, man. You know, this is my distant family away from home, you know. I'm always excited to get back, see the guys, see everybody. It's going to be like a family reunion when we get back. Everybody's going to be slapping fives and smiling until the next day we put the pads on. And then we'll be arguing with each other.
Just like a family, right?
Yep.
Hey, so going into your third year, what would you say was the biggest thing you learned from your rookie year that you applied in your second year?
Definitely, you know, how to be a professional. You know, the game starts with practice and with mental preparation. And so the thing is taking care of my body, you know, each and every day, using the opportunity, you know, to take care of your body and spend money on your body. You know, you need that to succeed in the league nowadays, to be sustainable. You know, to be more accountable, And so that's one of the things I learned, you know, from my older guys, from my veterans, you know, to take with me through my career since my rookie season.
Yeah, and Jaron, it looked like last year you came back, your body was a little bit different. Would you say that? I mean, it looked like you were maybe a little bit trimmer and a lot quicker and just in really good shape.
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely, you know, took the time from that off season, you know, from transition from college, you know, to change my body to be a better player. And it was the same thing that I've done, you know, this past off season. You know, just helped me, you know, be better all around as far as being, you know, more liable to be on the field for more downs and, you know, just to be more efficient in the game. And I think, you know, that's really helped me out.
You guys lost Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, and Sheldon Richardson in the offseason, so some questions about the defensive line. But what would you tell all the 12s out there about to not be too concerned about what's going on up front there?
Yeah, you lose those guys, but you pick up the younger guys that's in their steps, such as myself, Frank Clark, Nas Jones, Brandon Jackson, Deion Jordan. I don't think, you know, there's anything to worry about that, you know. Those guys left us in great hands. We learned from the best. So, you know, everybody's got to trust us and trust that we're going to go out and do our job. I don't think nobody should be worried because we're all hungry, especially to show the world.
Hey, Jaron, I saw some comments from Pete Carroll, I think it was a couple months ago, where he said that you're going to have a bigger impact than ever. He considers you being one of the new leaders on the team, and you're the heart and soul up front. How does it make you feel when you hear your coach saying things like that?
Oh, man, you know, it sends chills through my body, you know, and it makes me, you know, realize that they do have faith in me, you know, that they believe in me, you know, and, you know, of course, just being able to get along with the players and, you know, to be vocal and to go out there and show it and to do it. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, that I've always carried with me, you know, throughout my life. And as far as calling myself a leader, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm just trying to be the best teammate and be the best player that I can be, you know, in the locker room and on the field for my teammates and my guys that I'm out there battling with. And, you know, if he wants to give me that role, I will embrace it, you know, take it on. Nothing's going to change, you know. I'm going to be myself every day and give it all I got. Go out there. I just want everybody that I'm out there playing with to be the same. You know, go out there and play with a lot of physical tenacity, a lot of grit.
We're talking to Jaron Reed here on the Venue Kings Hotline. And, Jaron, you got an event coming up on Saturday up in Everett at Evergreen Lanes to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. Tell us about it.
This, you know, is just very important because, you know, a lot of stuff is going on around the league and a lot of, you know, misconception. You know, this right here, you know, is a show, you know, that football players, you know, such as I said, you know, very patriotic. And we have a lot of respect, you know, for the military. Those guys lay their life on the line, you know, every day. They do the things that we can't do. You know, I think, you know, what's been going on, the word has just been, you know, twisted and discombobulated. And, you know, I think this is a special way to show our appreciation, you know, even though it's, you know, it may not be much, but, you know, this is something that, you know, we're going to interact with these guys and show them that we're in no way informed disrespecting you guys. We uplift you guys. You know, we just want to show you that we appreciate and value your support. You know, and we want to thank you for the things you do. And thank you for, you know, laying your life out there, you know, sacrificing yourself for us.
And that is, it's a bowling event. I'm tweeting out right now a link to buy tickets if you want to get involved. It's this Saturday. It's at Evergreen Lanes. What kind of bowler are you, Jaron? Can you roll a perfect game?
I can't roll the perfect game, but I'm competitive enough to get close to it. I probably could pull someone 100-point range tight.
How heavy a ball do you use? Do you use, like, big 15, 16-pound ball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, you can't use an 8-pound ball. See, that'll be cheating. That's like me throwing a baseball down the football field. So I think, you know, it'll hit me out even using a beer ball until the arms get tired.
Have you ever actually smashed a pin in half? Because I feel like you could probably do that.
Honestly, I've tried before, but it just made a loud noise, and it just, like, flipped on the other side of the lane.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Hey, Jaron, I love bowling. I mean, have you ever had a bad time bowling? That's what I tell people, you know. Like,
no,
even
bowling is so fun.
Yeah.
It is real competitive.
Yeah, I'll take my kids down there to Acme Bowl in South Center on Sunday mornings. We have a good time. You know, it's Friday the 13th. You have any superstitions at all? Is there anything any routine before the game or maybe outside of football that you're superstitious about?
No, I don't believe in none of that. I just wake up the same day, go work out, and, you know, go look at some film and just treat it the same. Nothing's different.
I had high hopes for that question there.
Did
Jen.
You?
Yeah, I did. I had high hopes.
Do you have superstitions?
I go watch a movie or something, you know. That's what I would do. Just like yesterday, I watched something called the Beckel Experiment. It was pretty crazy. Rupture.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Jim. Do you have any superstitions?
I won't walk under a ladder.
Really?
Yeah. I was over, we're selling our house, and the painters are over there, and there was a ladder up against the wall, and it would have been more convenient for me to walk under the ladder and go out through the door, but I walked around
ladder. Isn't that just a matter of self-preservation?
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jared.
I got one for it. If you see a black cat, and if it's going, so it's supposed to go to the right of you, but if it goes to the left, you got to put an X on your back. How about that?
That's pretty good.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Last question from me, Jaron. I know that last offseason you stopped eating pork, which I think must be a pretty big concession from a man from Carolina like yourself. Are you still steering away from pork?
I've been off beef and pork for over a year. So, especially me being from North Carolina, come on, land of the barbecue.
Yeah.
Especially vinegar based, it's been pretty tough. But, you know, I just substitute, you know, everything for chicken or salmon or fish. You know, I picked up more of my vegetables. You know, just longevity, you know. And, you know, everybody wants to be healthy. I feel better. I'm more energetic. I'm more energy when I wake up. You know, your system's working better. Everything.
Yeah, you're right about that, but I don't think I could do it, Jared.
It's tempting, man. You see them whole slab of ribs on the grill with the barbecue on, slow cook, falling off the bone. You get hard that.
Especially when you're describing them that way. There's no way I'd be able to stay
Well, yeah, and especially when you use those Traeger wood pellet grills, the amazing wood fire flavor that you get.
Put them wood chips on there.
Yeah, he's got an advertisement with him, so he's just plugging his own products, Jaron. Isn't that shameless? Jaron, seriously, it's awesome what you're doing this Saturday. The Wounded Warrior Project up there in Everett at Evergreen Lanes on Saturday. As I said, I tweeted out a link for you to be able to get tickets if you're interested in going to that. And we look forward to catching up with you when you get into camp, Jaron. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
2 weeks from now, a little less than 2 weeks, 2 weeks from yesterday, training camp opens for the Seahawks. We're going to be asking for potential cures for James Paxton's back and also some Friday the 13th stories. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Little Misfit Radio flashback. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore here. We got an update. We don't usually do in-show big three updates, do we?
No, not usually.
But this one deserves it. Meta World Peace just got ejected from a big three game. That would be the artist formerly known as Ron Artest. Here at Little Caesars Arena, he punted a ball just over a minute into the game.
Oh, this is Ice Cube?
Ice Cube.
3-on-3
Yes.
League.
Do you know who his coach is?
No.
Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley. Oh.
Is that true?
That's 100% true. The Killer Threes.
Oh,
the team name.
Killer Threes.
Who might go to the pokey because he was cheating at Vegas.
I think he bets on his own team.
Well, if he loses, he'll claim that it was $100 less than what he actually bet that will be in there. I've always thought that the punt of the basketball is an underutilized form of protest. leaves no ambiguity when you pump the ball into the stands.
Well, I'll tell you what, some of my favorite things, like John McEnroe screaming at the guy, answer the question. The punting of the basketball, you're right, underrated. But last year when Marcus Peters threw the flag into the stands, that was hilarious. That's really funny. Because what does the ref do? They have backup flags?
It's like, oh, hey, try throwing another penalty flag now. Jason Williams did that to a reporter. It was Jeff Calkins, was a columnist in Memphis. And White Chocolate, Jason Williams, was mad at something that the columnist had written. So he grabbed the pen out of his hand. He's like, try writing stuff now. And I was like, hey, Jason, I think he's got a computer in the workroom. I don't think taking his pen will prevent him from writing what has happened here. It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. This idea came from Jackson, our intern. And it is solutions for James Paxton's bad back. I thought that we could, they call it crowdsourcing.
Like, this from Jackson the Coug in there?
That's correct.
The young Coug who's going to take our job someday?
Actually, I believe what he said is maybe Jim has some, since Jim's an old man. He might have some suggestions.
Did you say that, Jackson?
He did.
Really? I thought we were Cougs, man.
Cougs, he did say together. Go Cougs after, though.
Cougs look out for each other. I don't know
go
if you
Cougs.
Knew that. Right, Harden? We do. We stick up for each other.
Solutions to a bad back. Any sort of suggestions, approaches that people might have of how he will get better there. Do you have any ideas, any treatment solutions, anything that worked particularly well?
Yeah, I just ice. I ice like crazy. Always ice everything. You gotta ice. But stretching out your legs, lower legs,
mm-hmm.
stretch out. That helps. Yeah. Back.
Hot yoga.
Have you ever done yoga?
I did it once. My wife and I were on, I think, on our honeymoon somewhere. And yeah, I did it, but I haven't done it since then. The hot yoga sounds like the way to go now, though.
Electrotherapy, that comes from the 253. I don't think that's electrotherapy.
We used to call it STEM, where they put those pads on you that...
Does that do anything?
I don't know. It's supposedly, I think it's to get swelling out. So it flexes the muscles and sort of gets everything moving around down there. I never really thought that worked.
Yeah, because I know the guys always have it. You'll see him like, oh, he's got a little battery pack, like a fanny pack attached to him. So it'll go and it feels like it's doing something. Acupuncture, that's been suggested.
Are you a fan of that? Have you ever done it?
Yeah.
And you think it works?
Yes. Yeah. I have no doubts that it works. I had it for insomnia was one of the things. And, yeah, I totally believe in acupuncture.
Do you think maybe it was going on upstairs in your noggin? And
possibly.
You believed it?
Possibly.
Doesn't matter because it worked.
That's 100% true. I also...
Wait, where'd they stick the needles?
All over. Like in my hand. I also had one put in my third eye, which is kind of right between your forehead. That was a little strange. Like my face, in my ears.
There are a couple
that were put in my ears. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it hurt at all?
It doesn't hurt. You feel like a little pinprick, but that's all you really feel. It's not painful.
I think I'd rather deal with insomnia than to have a bunch of needles sticking
oh,
out.
Oh, really?
Of me. Yeah.
I fell asleep.
I've had it too, Jim. It's actually not that bad.
Yeah. And you feel kind of peaceful and relaxed, and they leave you just to sit in there. There's a couple times that I fell asleep while it was happening. Yeah.
Harden looked like a porcupine. How many did they have to put in you?
I think it was like 6 or 7, my back. Yeah.
Oh, did it help? All? Oh, it's for your back?
Yeah, it did help. Yeah.
Would you recommend that for James Paxton?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Go treat him like a pincushion? Yeah, get some needles stuck in you. Other things that have come in here, a back rub with warm baby oil. That doesn't sound too scientific. I don't know if we can advise
depends
that
depends on who's administering the baby oil.
Yes.
We're saying the electronic stim now illegal in Washington. So we legalize weed but make illegal electronic stim. Somebody also suggesting a blunt there for him to be able to be used.
Yeah. Here you go, Big Maple. Try this out. Whatever works to get you back on the mound, big fella.
I think we could go with a more sound medical practice. Orthotics, maybe? Orthotics to be able to help him out with that?
The yoga thing, absolutely. I know that works, and I know I'd be a lot better off. I just can't bring myself to do it because I hate stretching. Hate it. And I'm decent at it. I'm flexible just because I've been stretching my whole life, but I always have hated that. And then... the hot yoga, I would be embarrassed because there would be a pool the size of Lake Michigan around where I was. And isn't that what happens when you go in there? Isn't it like 90 degrees in there?
Yeah.
And
be the same way for me.
One thing somebody told me, though, that when you sweat all that stuff out, you're reluctant to put anything bad back into your body. Like you don't feel like going and drinking a Coke or beer or whatever. It's like you want to put all good things back in your body.
You feel cleansed?
Once you get all the poisons out, all the demons out.
Yeah. I once saw Red Bryant do hot yoga. That was an experience. Like he was struggling pretty hard And I think he eventually had to walk out. But watching the big man from Jasper, Texas do hot yoga, because they would have the rookies go and do it. It was part of, I mean, not any sort of hazing, but like, hey, this is one of the things that you can approach, because some of those guys are very, I mean, Kevin Bentley was the linebacker that was here. He was really dogged about it. Patrick Kearney, I know he had a lot of differences, different treatments that he used that way.
How about the hyperbaric chamber? Does that help a bad back?
No. Kearney had one of those too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the doctors got really mad after I wrote about it. It was like, that has no evidence that it actually helps. I was like, well, it's still a pressurized chamber that a multi-million-dollar professional athlete was in. I thought it was kind of noteworthy.
Well, and if he thinks it works, then I guess it works.
Do you ever buy things based on the idea of like, I don't know if it works, but maybe if I think it works, it will?
No, I have a hard time fooling myself.
I bought paint when we remodeled our house for the kitchen. It was by a place called Divine Designs, and it said that it is designed to alleviate seasonal affective disorder. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I thought that if there's even a chance that this will work, I will pay the extra $20 a gallon to be able to put this on there, because maybe it will make me think I'm happier.
So you find out this winter.
No, this was the old place.
Oh, did it help?
No, because I went on antidepressants after that. It's Danny David Moore. We got the professor, John Clayton. He joins us next.